C1S. Number 12A.
Griffith Chapter of Science, Theology and Medicine. Mrs. Eddy gives an account of how revelation came to her. It's the only chapter in which she speaks at length about her way of discovery and how she followed up that discovery. And so I feel it is right or appropriate if I spend some time this morning on considering together in a general way how Mrs. Eddy discovered Christian Science, so as to be clear on the position of revelation on one side and the part the Bible played in her discovery of Christian Science. This is a very important question, because today we must be quite clear to see how far our understanding of being should only rely on either revelation or on a study of the Bible and the Christian Science textbook, or what is the interrelationship between revelation and the study of our textbooks. More and more, we see two extremes coming into focus in the world. One metaphysical line or extreme would like to do away not only with the Bible, but also with the Christian Science textbook, and stands on the point that all is revelation, and therefore we don't need any text, therefore no textbook. Another extreme is that all revelation comes from the study of the Bible and the textbook. So I would like to go through various references in Mrs. Eddy's writings in order to see if we find a solution which is appropriate for this problem, because it is an important question, because it applies to our own development, so that we know exactly, or at least as exact as possible at this moment, how to progress and on what foundations to progress. So let me try and trace the development in Mrs. Eddy's discovery from her early researches up to now. We can see that before her discovery in 1866, two main strains of spiritual education were quite expressively there, remarkably there. I would call one strain the scientific strain and the other more the religious strain. Science, theology and medicine seem to have played an important part in her early life. We know from her writings that she speaks about the author's medical researches and experiments, and that they had prepared her thought for the metaphysics of Christian Science. So one preparation, inward preparation she was having, was that medical research, as we know, first in allopathy, then in homeopathy, then seeing if there is any healing power in electricity, in water cure, and so on. On the other side, she speaks how the Bible educated her thought many years, yea, all the way up to its preparation for and reception of the science of Christianity. So there were two big lines converging more and more towards that end where she wanted to unite religion and science, Christianity and science. Then she speaks of her revelation in 1866 in February, where she began to see the laws of life, truth and love. Yes, but from where did she get it? And she says quite definitely, truth is a revelation. So we can't get away that she was very definite in showing that revelation is from truth and is truth. All truth is from inspiration and revelation, she says in Unity of Good. She even is very explicit in regard to science. She says all science, science capitalized, is a revelation. So that she would indicate that science is not something as in natural science, namely knowledge, which is the result of deduction, of logical deduction and analysis. To her, science is a revelation. And so at once we begin to realize that we have to be careful in our study not to take the methods of exact science, of natural science, and try to apply them to the methods of investigation in spiritual things. When it comes to metaphysics, when it comes to being, then all science is a revelation. She says that Christian science was the revelation of divine love. Another way she says it was Christ's revelation. See? Or she says, we are indeed privileged in having the untranslated revelation of Christian science, indicating really that Christian science is a revelation from God, untranslated. As if she indicates that the Bible and what she says is the translated revelation of Christian science. Therefore we have the glossary, and in the glossary she gives the metaphysical interpretation of Bible terms, giving their spiritual sense, which is also their original meaning. Their original meaning, the untranslated meaning. Isn't this therefore showing that all science must be a revelation, so that all what we will see further and further in the science of being must be a revelation? She even says, I do not find my authority for Christian science in history, but in revelation. Her authority for Christian science is in revelation. Here she doesn't say that she found her authority in the Bible, but later on she will say something like that. So, you see, I want just to pinpoint what she is saying to us, so as to arouse within us the question, from where should we get further insight into being? And it is not in my endeavor to find a final answer to this question, but I would like to just arouse in our consciousness again this question, so as to rethink this question from a new standpoint. When we are asking from where came this revelation, she says it was the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of His power. Again, indicating that all revelation comes from God, as the grace of God, by the effectual working of His power. He says, the revelation of truth in the understanding came to me gradually and apparently through divine power. So one can see, if one takes single sentences like this, that there may be a school of thought which says, we do away with the Bible and science and health, because even Mrs. Eddy says that all revelation comes direct from God through divine power. She speaks that divine science came through inspiration. She speaks of the divine origin of science. He goes further and says that there is no precedence for Christian science. No works on the subject of Christian science existed, she says, prior to my discovery of this science. No human pen nor tongue taught me this science. Nothing in ancient and modern systems on which there was anything on which to find my own, comma, except the teachings and demonstrations of our great master and the lives of the apostles and prophets. So suddenly she brings in now some other source, namely the Bible, the life and demonstration and teaching of Jesus, the prophets, and the apostles. Still, she says, science and health, and with key to the scripture, is hopelessly original. Again, indicating that it is quite new, completely new. We are indeed privileged, as I have said before, to have the untranslated revelation of Christian science, and she queries and says it is a question today whether the ancient inspired healers understood the science of Christian healing. So divinely imbued were they with the spirit of science that the lack of the letter could not hinder their work. So, we must be clear that she had a revelation which was quite new, quite original, definitely coming from God as inspiration and direct influx from above. What did she say? What happened at the moment of her discovery, when she recovered from a fatal fall? We know that she says that she began to see a glimpse of the great fact of life in and of spirit, of life being the sole reality of existence. But she says, in spite that she was healed, in spite that there was enormous influx of life, she says, I could not then explain the modus of my belief. She had a revelation which she couldn't explain. I could only assure that the divine spirit wrote the miracle that she knew, that she felt. A miracle which later I found to be in perfect scientific accord with divine law. In one of the unpublished, unauthorized publication of her, in Footprints Fadeless, a copy of which is in the Congress Library in Washington, she says, was Newton capable of satisfactorily stating the laws of gravitation when first he discovered that ponderous principle? Much less could I, at first, formulate and express the infinite principle and the divine laws of which God gave me the first faint gleam in an hour of physical agony and mental illumination. So, at the time of her discovery, see, she received a revelation, a revelation which was powerful and convincing enough to take her out of a fatal fall, which healed her not only of the consequences of that fall, but of many other other diseases and disharmonies which she had. It was so complete, and yet she could not explain what happened, how it happened. And only later in the year of 1866, she says that in the latter part of 1866, I gained the scientific certainty that all causation was mind and every effect a mental phenomenon. But even then, she did not know yet the principle and the rule of this healing. So she withdrew for 3 years, as she points out over and over in her works. For 3 years after my discovery, I thought the solution of this problem of mind healing. You see, she had a revelation, and now she had to seek the solution of this revelation, to give to this revelation its scientific structure, its scientific interpretation. So one begins to see that revelation and its scientific interpretation must not be the same thing at one go. That first we may be touched very convincingly, very powerfully by a new idea, and yet that doesn't yet mean that we see that idea already within the framework of its science, so that it is interpreted clearly and rightly. But for her, it took her further years, and those further years were devoted in finding this principle and rule of healing. And in those 3 years, she began to find, as she says, the solution of mind healing. See, she must have got Christian science at the point of divine science. The oneness of being, as she said, I began to see the facts in divine science that all being is mind, and that life, truth, and love are all powerful. That had an effect on her, because divine science, as the spirit of it, naturally includes the level of absolute Christian science and the level of Christian science which heals. But she has not yet understood how this divine science can be reduced first to absolute Christian science as the laws of life, truth, and love, and then further reduced to the level of Christian science as the science of mind healing. It was a long process, so let's have patience with us too. That when we touch a new idea and we feel it is a new idea and that something gets hold of us as a new idea, that it may take time so that this idea begins to crystallize in our thought and becomes clearer and more definite and finds its place within the whole framework of the system of science. So here she says that the divine spirit had wrought a miracle which later I found to be in perfect scientific accord with divine law. I had learned that mind constructed the body and that nothing else could. How it was done, the spiritual science of mind must reveal. See, now it's quite interesting, I think, if one looks over all those dozens and dozens of statements in her works, that what she got first was really life, truth, and love. That the focal point was on life and truth and love. That later on, when she had to find how this applies to healing and how one could find the principle of healing, everything shifted more and more to the term of mind, the science of mind, the science of mind healing. So, did I read this one? Yes, that I learned that mind constructed the body, but how it was done, the spiritual science of mind must reveal. When the science of mind, she says, was a fresh revelation to the author, she had to impart the hues of spiritual ideas from her own spiritual condition. She has not yet seen the order and the system of it. Then comes an interesting point. She says, the Bible was my textbook. It answered my questions as to how I was healed. But the scriptures had to me a new meaning, a new tongue. Can you see what interests me? Don't take all what I say as authority. I just tried to myself, for myself, to clear my thought, perhaps to rouse in your thought, to think and rethink this big, important question of what is the position of the Bible within our spiritual evolution. What is direct revelation from God within our spiritual revolution? Can we see the place which each one takes? So here she says that the Bible answered my questions as to how I was healed. But the scriptures had to me a new meaning, a new tongue. Their spiritual signification appeared. And I apprehended for the first time in their spiritual meaning Jesus' teaching and demonstration and the principle and rule of spiritual science of metaphysical healing, in a word, Christian Science. She says, perhaps if I put it in other words, if I interpret it rightly, she says that she found the signs of mind healing in the Bible, but not from the Bible, which is a great difference. It wasn't the Bible that taught her the principle and rule of mind healing, but because of her revelation which she had, she could read the Bible differently, and the Bible was speaking a new tongue, had a new meaning, the spiritual signification appeared. You see, it was that which she laid into the Bible. It wasn't the text that aroused her spiritual sense. She laid it into it, and in their and for the first time she could see the principle and the rule of Jesus' teaching and demonstration. So the new sense, the spiritual sense of the Bible appeared to her, but not from the Bible, but from her revelation. It is as if she would say, in modern words, that the Bible acted as a catalyst. Oh. That's the right word, isn't it?
Yes.
As a catalyst. You know what a catalyst is in chemistry? In chemistry, you have, say, a solution and a process which is perhaps very, 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 very slow. If you introduce a catalyst, which is a substance, then the process is speeded up either very quickly, sometimes instantaneously. But the catalyst is a substance which speeds up that process without losing its own substance, without changing its own substance. So the Bible really acted in her consciousness as a catalyst. There was latent in her the divine science that was revealed from God. But she said, how on earth did that really give a spontaneous healing? She didn't know. And she was seeking and seeking and seeking. And the Bible acted as such a catalyst, speeding up that process. If Mrs. Eddy would never have had a Bible, or if there wouldn't have existed a Bible, as you know, she would say, she would just the same have discovered the signs of mind healing. But it may have taken tens of years, or it may have taken a generation or a few generations. But the Bible acted as that catalyst, speeding up her revelation and brought the answer to what she was seeking. From then, she says, when she has seen that, she began to draw conclusions from there, that she was testing her findings. Testing. Well, we only begin to test something as long as a new view is still a hypothesis. But when that hypothesis is taken and put under test, and one begins to see that each time this hypothesis proves itself, then it's no more a hypothesis, then it becomes a scientific law. And that's what she was doing. So, over and over she would say that revelation, then reasoning it out, and demonstration, those three were her main factors in proving that what she had discovered was divine. If we follow further her line of development, from 1866 to 1875, when she wrote her first textbook, she says in Footprints Fadeless, she says, from 1866 to 1875, I myself was learning Christian Science step by step, gradually developing the wonderful germ I had discovered as an honest investigator. It was practical evolution. See, she was learning herself. Therefore, one can see that what she had discovered was not a discovery in the ordinary sense of scientific discovery, because ordinary sense of scientific discovery is a logical deduction and analysis of knowledge. So that doesn't need to be afterwards gradually understood. But because her science is revelation, all science is revelation, that was putting the last thing first, taking the end for the beginning. Then she was beginning to learn herself, make conscious to herself what she was really discovering. And I'm quite sure that you have witnessed and experienced this yourself, that sometimes something has come up in consciousness which you feel, oh, I have touched something new, something with which I haven't thought before, which seems to us much bigger or wider. But it hasn't crystallized yet. Perhaps we haven't had the catalyst that speeded up that process and to take crystallized form so that it is defined and named. And so very often when a new idea comes up, other people, other friends who have been thinking perhaps in the same line act as such a catalyst and bring in their own statements on the same subject and begin to verify and to confirm and to sanction, so to say, what one intuitively has felt. So that not only the Bible or the textbook, but each individual's vision can act as such a catalyst. So she was showing that her revelation was something which she had to learn step by step herself, and that was practical evolution. I like this wording of practical evolution. That's really spiritual evolution in the most practical way.